Great. We're a family together, and every time that encouragement for the congregation to pray for this family, I have to do a little catch-up in my mind, thinking about all the families I've committed to praying for over the years. But as we are a family together, the way in which you step into helping these families is actually to be a part of the mission and ministry of Calvary, whether it's with children or students or praying and giving to the ministry, and we all grow up one generation after another. And it's really sweet to see that happen this morning, and thank you for your part here at Calvary. How's everybody doing? Good. Over here? Very quiet. Okay. Yeah. This morning, as we talk about family, I want to do a little family talk with you about what's happening in our church. And the announcement that I made 2 weeks ago that I would be stepping down as senior pastor. And this will be a little bit unlike next week. We're going to start a series that will take us through the summer, but I want to have a little time with you sort of in a family kind of way to help us think about what is before us in the transition of the senior pastor role here at Calvary. And what I want to say, I hope you'll hear my heart. I'm thankful that I will be present in the ministry of Calvary for a few years ahead, many, if the Lord grants that. And I've loved being a part of the ministry of Calvary for all the years that I've been here. And I'm grateful for many of you who were here back in 1992 when it first began, and beyond that. I want you to know that succession in leadership and in ministries is a normal thing. It's not always healthy. And what I hope we'll do this morning is think about how do we all participate in making a succession of leadership in our church healthy. And part of that will be my job, and part of it will be your job. And so I want us to think about that. And to help us, I want to think together about how succession happens in the Bible, and let the Bible be our guide about how we move from one season of God's work in a place or with a people into the next one, and what needs to occur for one to stop being the leader and for another one to become the leader. What must the people do? What must the leaders do? Again, for the aim that we would have a very normal, healthy succession. Everybody good with that? Are you nervous? No, it's good. So I want you to open your Bible with me to the Old Testament. And the first picture I want to take us to is in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And of course, if you go to Deuteronomy, then you know that one of the first major leaders that had a fairly obvious plan of transition is Moses. When you come to chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, Moses went up from the plains of Moab up to Mount Nebo, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I've let you see it, but you will not go over there into it." And then it says Moses died there. He died there on the mountain, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab. He, I think, is God, buried Moses in that place, and no one knows the place of his burial. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 34 says that Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor was unabated at 120. Well, the cumulative effects of sin in our life, in addition to processed food, will not allow us to experience that kind of ending. But at 120, Moses died, having served the Lord delivering his people from Egypt in a period of 40 years. And I want you to know that Moses is described in verse 10 as a prophet unlike any that had been before, because the Lord knew him and he knew the Lord face to face. Moses is given this very unique description that he was unlike any prior prophet because he had met with God. You remember when he came down off the mountain, his face glowed because he experienced something unlike that anyone had ever experienced. And he was responsible for all of the incredibly marvelous signs and wonders and great deeds of terror that were carried out. He was there for the first Passover. Moses was a leader unlike others. But in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 34, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand on him, and the people of Israel obeyed Joshua and did as the Lord commanded Moses." I love that what is said here is the people obeyed the new leader, Joshua, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So God gave to Moses his word, his revealed commands, and then Moses lays his hands on Joshua and Moses dies. And they wept for 30 days. And then what do? They move on and they go into the promised land. Moses was prohibited from going into the promised land because of a failure on his part. For some reason, seems a little severe from here, but God said, "You did not respect my holiness. And I told you to speak to the rock and you struck the rock, and you're not going into the land." We go, whoa. What should that make us think? There is no God like our God. He is worthy of complete compliance and allegiance no matter what. And so here Joshua is going to be the one who leads his people in. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses.'" Now there is a very intentional theme here that God's purpose in delivering his people from Egypt was first commissioned to Moses, but it wasn't dependent upon Moses, it was dependent upon God. And when it was time for God to change leaders, the work or the purpose or the mission is unchanged. You're going to go into the land, and now Joshua is going to be the one to do that. And the Lord is speaking to Joshua. Verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." And everybody said, okay, so here we have God saying to Joshua, what I commanded Moses, you teach and you do. And I will be with you as I was with Moses. Only you be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from it, to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Same mission, same purpose, same destiny, different leaders. What's the same? God's word that he gave to Moses, Joshua continues it. God's presence that he was with Moses, he's with Joshua. What's the response of the people of God and the new leader? Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you?" Let's read the last line together. "Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is ensuring that the work that he wants to do in the people Israel with one leader to another leader is the same because of their adherence to the word of God and his promised presence with them. Okay, this is the theme of God. He has a work that he's going to do. What he wants from us is adherence, meditate on the things of God. And here we are in our own day, 2025. And we might say that the world is a very strange place. And it is so tempting to be dismayed. Would you agree? You look around, it's very tempting to be dismayed. And I want you to think about what God told his people in their day, being chased down by Pharaoh across the Red Sea. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What must you do? Be careful to meditate on my law day and night. And I want to say the strongest thing for this congregation in a time of transition is for every one of us to meditate on God's word and let it guide our steps all the way. If you're not constantly reading the word of God, let me just call you, the greatest security for us in a time of transition is that every one of us will commit ourselves to be under the leadership of the word of God taught to us by the Spirit of God. So read a proverb every day. Let the Psalms be your comfort in your time of trial, loss, suffering, rejoicing. When you're on top of the world and when it feels like the world is coming to an end, meditate on the Psalms. Be guided by the doctrines of the New Testament, Book of Romans, Ephesians. Let the Word of God dwell within you richly. Be guided by God's truth. What God said to his people is let the word of God guide you into the promised land. I want to say to us, let it be true of us. It's not just the pastor's job. It's like every person has to do that. And if we will do that, I know that we can go into whatever next season of our life together knowing that the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That happens all the time in the transitions that are absolutely normal. It's normal that one would die and another would take his place. That's normal. It happens again in the book of Kings with Elijah and Elisha. I'm not going to turn there, but I'll just tell you that there are a couple chapters in 1 Kings chapter 19. One of the great prophets, Elijah, had just led a great conquest of 450 prophets of Baal. And then in chapter 19, he flees at the sound of a Jezebel who wants to put him to death, and he's afraid. So triumph one day, trouble the next, and he's alone, and he runs into a cave. And in a cave, he's a lonely leader after a great victory. As is often the case, he's there alone, and God comes to him. You might remember this, that God comes to him and speaks to him first in a mighty wind, but God's not in that, and then in an earthquake, but God's not in that, and then a big fire outside the cave, and God's not in that, and where is God, everybody? In a still small voice, like a little whisper, he hears the voice of God. And God is telling to Elijah that God sometimes works quietly, sort of imperceivably in the small things that happen around him. And we overestimate the big things and we just need to be faithful in the small things. And there he is. And in his loneliness, Elijah says, I'm the only one who's been faithful to you, God. I've done all these things and I alone am left, who haven't taken up the name of the gods of our time. And God's going to calm him down, and he's going to speak to him, and he's going to whisper to him, and he says, no, I have more than 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So you just sit tight. And then he says to him, I want you to return to the wilderness, and as you go on your way, I want you to anoint Elisha to be the prophet in your place. And then if you look in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha takes his place. What we don't have time to look at is two similar things happen. God promises, Elisha, listen to my word and obey it, and I will be with you, as I was with Elijah. Now, Elijah doesn't die, he gets taken up. So Moses dies, Elisha gets taken up, but there is a transition in leadership with two key requirements. You be faithful to the words that God gives you, and I will be with you as I was with Elijah. You getting a theme here? When you come to the New Testament, there are fairly spectacular successions. And the first one is Jesus to his disciples. So we should look at that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 21 and verse 19. John 21 and verse 19. Jesus is going to lead his disciples here. It actually should say verse chapter 20. I'm pretty sure. Yes, chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. That may be one of the most understated verses in the Bible. They were glad to see the Lord after his death and burial, and now his resurrection. Verse 21, and Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And here is the succession plan. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In what sense they received the Holy Spirit in that moment, I'm not exactly sure. That may have been a covenantal promise that really was fully fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. But he was saying two things to them as well. I'm sending you, my word to you, I'm sending you out, and you're going to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as you go. And Jesus died. He's going to ascend into heaven, but he commissions them to continue the work that he began. And Jesus lived about 33 years. His ministry was about 3.5 years, and he is turning it over to the disciples. Now, no verse is more clear about Jesus' command in the transition of his mission to that of his disciples than the very famous verse, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And, I want you to see two things. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. That sounds like God to Moses and Joshua, adhere to what I have said. And Elijah and Elisha, and now Jesus to his disciples. Listen to all that I have commanded you. Have fidelity to the word of God. And, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I promise you my presence with you. See, in every healthy transition of a season in God's work recorded in the flow of the Bible, there is God promising that my word will be your anchor and my presence will be your guide, and it's going to be good to move into this new generation. That's the way the New Testament then begins to take up this theme. Now, there is no greater succession than Jesus to his disciples. But I just want you to see, Moses died, Elijah was taken up, Jesus died. That's not the pattern that necessarily always has to happen in the New Testament now. Phew. It doesn't have to be a death for there to be a transition. In fact, more commonly, as Paul moved around on his missionary journeys, there was another pattern of how leadership was transferred from one to another in the New Testament for the stability of the church to continue on its mission to go and make disciples in all the world and to baptize people and to teach them all that God commanded them. The more common pattern is seen in the Apostle Paul and some of the mentors and young followers that he had, like Timothy and Titus and Philemon and others, Barnabas. And you come to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and you hear Paul actually giving a pattern for how a transition in leadership is going to take place. Now he's writing to Timothy. Before we look at this verse in particular, Timothy was Paul's dear child in the faith. 1 Timothy actually says that Paul led him to the Lord. He was Paul's own personal convert to Christ. So he called him his own beloved child. Timothy had a mother named Lois and a grandmother named Eunice. A nice picture on Mother's Day on the importance of a mom to a young man or a young woman who wants to follow the Lord. And the mother Lois and the grandmother Eunice, Paul says, I know they had sincere faith, and it's in you also, because Timothy had a mother and grandmother who guided them. In another place, chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, you have known the scriptures from childhood. And I get a picture of a mom with a young boy, a young girl, helping them to understand the Word of God. Is there a better picture, a better gift than a mom can give to children than to know the Word of God? Let the Word of God be your meditation day and night, that you may prosper in your way. Timothy had that. Timothy was gifted. He was recognized with a great sense of character. He was proven. Paul took him with him on a missionary journeys to Berea in Acts chapter 17 and to Athens and Corinth in Acts chapter 8. And then Timothy was with Paul in Jerusalem in Acts 20. Timothy went to Ephesus and he was one of the leaders in the church. So Timothy had a very privileged position with the Apostle Paul, and he was just mentored up to grow up to be not a boy, not a young teenager, but a young man who was committed to the Scriptures and knew that God was with him. And it's to Timothy that Paul wrote these words now. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I take this verse to be the actual pattern that should occur in every local church, that God is calling men and women to be set aside for the work of ministry, and that it is the church's responsibility to raise up children, teenagers, young men, young women who will say, my life is for God and I want to serve him with my life, and it's the responsibility of the church to mentor them up to be next generation leaders. That's what Paul is driving home here. It's what he really wants to occur, and it's what we want to occur at Calvary Bible Church. Amen. And it's on the wall. It's on the wall. And we want it to be part of not just words, but real life. That we make disciples and empower leaders, and therefore the church is multiplied. This is the way succession in a church like Calvary is normal, healthy, and ready for the next generation. I'm not going to retire. And hopefully I'm not dying. I doubt I'll be caught up. I'm going to stay and continue to work. But I want you to know that a healthy succession is not primarily about when the leader is ready to leave, but when the next generation is ready to lead. And we're there. We possess leaders in Calvary Bible Church on three campuses who are ready to lead. And I want you to commit yourself to be, as much as it lies within you, praying for God's grace over the most healthy, normal succession of leadership at Calvary Bible Church. Why? So that the mission is uninterrupted, knowing that it's not about the leader. It's about the mission, going to all the world, make disciples. That's going to continue until the Lord returns. And the church multiplication has already occurred here, and it's going to continue as we all have our part in this work. I'm committed to doing it as far as it lies within me. I want to ask you to join me in making that the most healthy, normal succession and transition that could occur for the glory of God. There is a famous quote that's given to a 17th century Moravian bishop, Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Write it down, look it up. Here's what he said, trying to mentor up next generation leaders. He said, preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. What? Be forgotten? Yeah, it's okay. Now, in reality, Moses is not forgotten. Elijah's not forgotten. Jesus is not forgotten. Paul's not forgotten. But it's not about the leader. It's about the mission of God. And the leaders change all the time. But the mission of God goes on, anchored by a fidelity to his truth and the reliance on his presence in this day and into the future. Who's with me? If you're with me, stand. Let us commit to that. This is a message just for you. It's not being preached on the other campuses, but you've been faithful to the work over a lot of years. There's a lot more work to do. Would you agree? All right, so God is going to carry us in that work, and we'll be together in it. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you that you have called us to be a part of the work of God in our generation. Seeing children dedicated to you this morning, we are thinking about next generations. And we ask, oh God, that your purposes will be uninterrupted today and into the next months and into the next years as we all commit ourselves to build a Christ-centered community of people who are fully devoted to loving God and loving others, and that that mission will be undisturbed from week to week and month to month and into the future, and that you would just lead us into a new season of ministry in which our best days would be ahead of us as we trust you and rely on your presence and the promises of your word. We all stand together because that truly is our heart. We want God's work today and into the future. We rejoice in your many blessings over the years, but we believe that our day is the day, the day into the future is the day that you have given to us for Calvary Bible Church to be a witness to you in Boulder and Boulder County throughout Colorado and around the world. Would you awaken us, God, to the role that we shall play to be your faithful people, faithful to your word and filled with your spirit and committed to the love of God for all the world. This is what we pray for. You've been faithful in the past. You're going to be faithful into the future. And we surrender and commit ourselves to you for this purpose. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.